Good afternoon, everybody. So a while back, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, I took a trip with a number of members of my shul to a cemetery. There's a cemetery in Queens that has a number of Gedolei Yisrael buried there, including Rashi Yeshiva from our yeshiva. One of the things we noticed, like if you wanted to get to the Meitzer to Eloi's Kever, you have to like step on 15 other Kvarim. So it got me thinking, is there an Isser to step on other people's Kvarim? Meaning this happens all the time. You go to a Levaya, and during the Kvura, they have to walk all over there just to carry the mace to the Kever. They have to walk all over other people's Kvarim. Sometimes it's difficult to hear. They're saying a Kelmole or Kaddish or whatever, and you want to hear, so you got to get closer. But if you there's no way to get closer, unless you're stepping on graves. So that's the question. So there is an issue that you're not allowed to get hana'a from a grave. Now, in order to determine whether stepping on the grave or walking on the grave or standing on the grave or sitting on the grave is an issue of getting hana'a from a grave, we have to define two things. We have to define what is hana'a, and we have to define what is a grave, right? Meaning, which part of the grave are you not allowed to get hana'a from? So let's start with the second part. What is a grave? That's the longer of the two conversations. So first of all, that goes Hashri in the third paragraph of Maseches Melit Katan quotes an Or Zarua who says that it's usher to sit on a tombstone or walk on top of a grave because it's all done in the covered the mace, and since it's done the covered the mace, that's all as a din of a grave that you're not allowed to get hana'a from. The Tur in Shin Samach Dalit quotes the Rush that you're allowed to sit on a tombstone because that's not part of the grave. The grave is something else. The tombstone is not considered the grave. Beis Yosef says that he paskins like the Rush. The Rama quotes both Deos about the tombstone. So in Pesachei Tshuva, in Shin Samach Dalit Sif Beis, he quotes the Yad Eliyahu that for a mitzvah you're allowed to walk on top of a grave, but still never allowed to sit on a tombstone. I guess you can't imagine what would be the mitzvah situation where a person would want to or need to sit on a tombstone. So you're never allowed to sit on a tombstone. So Lemaisa, at the end of the day, it seems that a tombstone is also considered part of a grave and you're not allowed to get out of from. What about the dirt that's just covering the grave, the dirt that's covering the body? Is that an iser of stepping on? So the rayas that the Rishonim bring is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Zayin. The Gemara says the Kivrei Derav Havushakli Minei Afala Shisa Bas Yoma. They used to take dirt from the Kever of Rav and they used it as some sort of cure for a one day fever. I don't know how they used it exactly, but they used it as a cure for a fever of some sort. So also Amalei Shmuel, they went to tell Shmuel. It's unbelievable that they're using the dirt from Rav's Kever and they're curing illnesses with it. So Amar Lahu, Yos Avdin, Karkola Muva, Karkola Meni Neseres. Nah, it's not called that they're getting Hanah from the grave. That's not the grave. That's just the Karkolam. Karkolam Zeni Neseres. Wow. So the Gemara is telling me whatever you can qualify as Karka Olam, whatever gets defined as Karka Olam is not the grave. So that just begs the question, what is Karka Olam and what's the grave? How do you distinguish between Karka Olam and the grave? So the Torah quotes Rabbeinu Yeshaya, again, Torah in Shin Samach Dal, quotes Rabbeinu Yeshaya that anything that's permanent, that was dirt that's there, that's just part of the ground that you never dug and you never moved, and that's Karka Olam. But any dirt that was removed from the ground and then refilled the grave, that's not Karka Olam, that's not permanent dirt. And the dirt that immediately covers the grave obviously was once dug up. They had to get the mace in there. So they dug up the dirt, they put the nifter in there, and then they filled in all of the dirt. So that would be us to get it off from. What happened with Rav must have been that they took dirt from nearby, but not from directly on top of his kever. The Tur, however, himself disagrees, and he says that his father, the Rush, sides with him. That any permanent dirt, karkola, means any dirt that's supposed to stay there forever. Oh, well, that's true of the dirt that they cover the coffin with, that is supposed to stay there forever. They're not going to aggravate it any further, any more in the future. And that already makes it karka olam, that you're allowed to get hana from it. So fundamental machlokas, which with a huge nafkamina, is the dirt on top of where the guy is buried, is that considered to be a kever that you're not allowed to get hana from? Shulchan Aruch and Shin Samach Dalet Aleph is mekel, like the Rush and the Tur, you're allowed to get hana from the dirt on a grave. However, the Ramah is machmir for Rabbeinu Yeshaya. According to Ramah, you wouldn't be allowed to get any hana'a from the dirt on the grave. But there's another element over here that is going to help us determine whether the dirt on the grave is considered to be karka olam, whether it's considered to be asr banah. There is a tshuva of the Netziv in Meshiv Davar where he quotes a machlokas Rashi and Tosos in a different sugi in Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Heyamud Beis, which the Netziv thinks is very related to whether the dirt on the grave is considered karka olam, and he thinks it's a machlokas Rashi and Tosos. What's going on in Avodah Zarah Mem Heyamud Beis? The Mishnah over there says that Eloheim Elaharim Velo Haharim Eloheim, that they would put their Avodah Zarahs on the mountains, but the mountains themselves don't have the status of an Avodah Zarah. They're not Asr Banah. Eloheim Elagvos Velo Agvos Eloheim. Ground, mountain, is not Asr as an Avodah Zarah. It doesn't become Asr Banah. Even if a person is worshipping a mountain, you're still allowed to get Hana'ah from that mountain. So the Mishnah then says, Umbnei Ma Asherah Asura, then why is an Asherah Asr? Isn't an Asherah just part of the ground? No, Mepnei Sheyesh Batfisas Yidei Adam, V'kol Sheyesh Batfis Yidei Adam Asr. The Asherah was planted by a person, someone moved it and planted it there, so that's already something that a person made, and since a person made it, that has the status of Avodah Zarah. But a mountain that God put there, a Cheshimei Bereshis, is not going to have the status of Avodah Zarah. Says Rashi, the Machlokas is about a tree that's planted from a seed, because that's created by human hands. But if you take a sapling from one place and plant it in the ground, that's not really called planting it. Avol Natu Garin Shelo L'Shem Asherah Ein Zu Tfisas Yideya Adam Hol Vahi Shaita Lav Daite Lavod Chav Maya. Tosos disagrees and says replanting the tree is the same as planting it for the first time. You move a tree and you move it somewhere else, that's the same as planting the tree. That's considered Tfisas Yidei Adam, and that will have the status of Avodah Zarah. So says the Netziv, so sharp, connecting the sugyas from here to there. And the Netziv says, Rashi is apparently telling me that a replanted tree is not really considered connected to the ground because it didn't start in that ground. But and therefore, such a tree can become Asr as Avodah Zarah. Whereas Tosos says, no, a replanted tree becomes part of that ground as if it was planted there, Mei Kara. So Shulchan Aruch follows Shita Satosos in Yardea Simin Kuf Mem Hei. So the Netziv says, now let's bring it back to the Kever. You have dirt that was dug up, and then you refill it, so that's just like a tree that you unplanted and then replanted. Tosos Masech Sanhedrin would be a riot to this. So since we follow Tosos, dirt that's used to refill a grave is like unmoved dirt, and therefore you're allowed to get Hana from it. That's considered Karka Olam. The Ramah disagrees with this maskana, as we said before. The Ramah says that we asr the dirt on top of a grave, but the Netziv says, he doesn't mean it. It's a chumrah b'alma that he's saying. But really, Meikra Adin, it's not the grave. The dirt on top of the grave is not the grave. But the Ramah says it is. So, you have the Netziv saying it's not, but the Ramah says it is. Okay, so now that we kind of know what the grave is, now we have to define what Hana'ah is. Let's assume Lahachmir, like the Ramah says, that the dirt on top of the grave is the grave. Is standing on top of that considered to be Hana'ah? So there's a Gemara in Baba Basra and Daf Kuf Alvam Rav, where the Gemara tries to understand how they used to set up the graves that they had in a cave, where they would bury people in the walls of a cave. And the Gemara suggests at some point that there are two graves that are dug underneath the area near the entrance to the cave. And the Gemara says, what? They can't have graves underneath the entrance? Hakamit dashi luhu. People are going to be standing on that. So what? So what? People are going to be standing on that. Says the Rashbam that the ragle no se amita vikovreha. People are going to bury their dead. Shemoshivim sham amita umishtain sham harbe. They're going to be spending a lot of time there because it's going to take some time till they can find the space or whatever. Velodami ledrisas no se amita shadosan al gabe amaros amakafos mikol tzad kishmavinas amita lechatzer. And this isn't like when you're just passing by and you just need to go walk over the grave just to get to the next grave. Because that's a hiluch lefi sha'a lo kapid. That wouldn't bother us at all. Apparently, the Rashbam is telling us that anytime you need to go over a grave in order to get to somewhere, and you're just going to be there for a few moments, that's not called hana'a. The grave doesn't help you in any way. But if you're going to sit there, and you're going to be there for some time, that is called hana'a. The Taz in Yardesh, in Samachdal, quotes Agos Hashri, in the third part of Maid Katan, that says that you're not allowed to walk on top of a grave, but you can take into account the Shitas Arashbam, that if you're doing it very briefly, then it's going to be mutter. Pischit Shuvah quotes the Yad Eliyahu, same thing. Briefly, quick, not a problem. The existence of that grave doesn't make your walk any easier or more pleasant. But sitting on a grave, spending time on a grave, that's going to be a problem. The Aruch HaShulchan says, but there's another factor over here. Granted that it's not called an Isra Hana'ah, but is that respectful? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, you know, walking on top of a grave may be mutter as far as Hana'ah, but it's disrespectful, it's a disgrace. So certainly to do something in a disgraceful manner, not letzorich mitzvah, not letzorich anything, just stand because you're walking on graves, that would be usher, says the Aruch HaShulchan. If you're doing it because you need to, so then it would probably be mutter. Pesachei Tshuva quotes Eyal Eliyahu on this issue of what's considered to be zayon and what's considered kavanah meis, that he says that there's no iser of getting hana'ah from the dirt on top of the grave, but you do have to be concerned of kavanah meis. So if there's no other choice, you can go there. But if you have other places to stand, don't dafka choose to stand right on top of a grave. Rabbi Kiv Eiger has a chiddush, though. Rabbi Kiv Eiger says, wait, you know, iser hana'ah from a grave is that which was put there l'kavanah meis. The kavanah meis is only the first layer of dirt that's over the coffin. All the other layers of dirt are not the kavanah meis. That's just to make the ground even so everybody else doesn't fall in. So the kavanah meis is only the first layer of dirt. So you're not standing on that, and therefore it should be mutter anyway. That shouldn't be considered the kever at all. However, Rabbi Kiv Eiger himself points out that he's wrong. That this chiddush is not true, because the halacha is on Yom Tov Sheni we're allowed to be kover ameis on Yom Tov Sheni, even Aliday Yisrael, on Yom Tov Rishon Aliday Amin, Yom Tov Sheni even Aliday Yisrael. Are you allowed to fill in the grave in its entirety? Yes. Well, why? Why are you allowed to fill in the grave in its entirety? You should just put orange cones around it, fill in just the top, and that's the kever, and that it maintains the cover of the maze, and then just put orange cones around it so nobody falls in or something. Put a maka around it or something so nobody falls in. Why am I allowed to fill it in its entirety? It must be that it all has the din of a kever. Shar Mitzion Balacha just adds one more point in his commentary in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that nichalei le'inish lav mitzvah b'mamone, that there is a rule in general that people are always happy to have mitzvahs done with their belongings. And l'chora you can cheshbin whether the deceased would be okay with people walking over his grave to bury another dead person. So most people you can assume would be okay with doing that. They'd be meichel on the kavod, and make a bazillion out of it, you know, to start having a party and start pouring drinks or something, right? So that would be a problem. But to just take care of the levaya and to be there to visit kibrei tzaddikim and the like, mistama, the people that are buried near tzaddikim would hold that it's worth being buried near the tzaddikim if it means, even if it means that people are going to have to walk over their kvarim once in a while in order to go visit the kibrei tzaddikim. Okay, everyone, have a wonderful day.